Hey everyone, welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast, where we dive into the people, stories, and iconic moments that have helped make sneakers a global phenomenon. If you've ever told someone that you like their kicks, then you're in the right place. Before we lace up this episode, here's a little teaser for you. Stick around to the end of each episode for the last shot question. It's a chance to test your sneaker knowledge and engage with our community. I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter for a weekly deep dive into the biggest topics in the sneaker business. All right, now that the business is taken care of, grab your favorite pair of kicks and let's get started with the episode.
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
Against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win!
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What up, what up? Welcome back to the Sneaker History Podcast. My name's Nick Engvall, and I'm here with the whole squad tonight. Robbie, Mike, what's going on, fellas?
Not much, man. We're all together again. The band's back.
Boys back in town, Yeah.
Yeah, man, it feels, has it been a while since all three of us were on? It feels like it. I don't know if it's just been a week, but it feels like it's a little longer than that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It feels like it's been about a week or two.
But, so I think we got a pretty solid show tonight, today. Whenever you're listening to this, we recorded it at night, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're listening to it at night. Before we get into the show, I wanted to just shout out, as usual, another iTunes review. Cochino Kano left us a review on iTunes. We appreciate it. Thank you for leaving us the review. If you do have time, take a couple minutes, drop us a review. It helps us get in front of more people and spread the word of the podcast. If you don't want to leave a review, leave us a comment on Instagram, on Twitter, DM us, whatever. We just appreciate all of you listening and paying attention to us and letting us like have these conversations and grow our community. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Sorry.
Too late reaction.
I mean, like, I agree, obviously. But.
Just is distracted. Got the Warriors Raptors game on in the background. That's what it is.
Kind of definitely
do. I'm muted. I just went far away, but yeah.
What do you think? Where do we want to start tonight, guys?
You know what? I guess we have to start with the obvious. I feel like what everybody's probably been talking about for the last 24 hours, 48 hours.
So, shatter backboards?
Yeah, of course.
And, I'm going to let you guys talk about it because I just feel like the only thing I really can say right now is, what the hell is that?
Well, Robbie had the best one when we were talking the other day. I'm pretty sure it was Robbie. So it looks like I'm going to put lotion on him.
Right? I mean, it kind of looks like if you've ever thrown up in a paper bag and there's like a gloss on the part of the cardboard, and it kind of looks like it's like a nice little vomity sheen.
Yeah, so we're off to a good start.
That's really what I think. Like lotion and then vomit. And sorry. You know, weak stomach, my bad.
I mean, full disclosure, before we started recording, I'm not going to name any names, but somebody said it just like it looked like a pair of shatter backboards that have been lubed up. So, I mean, it's pretty bad with this. I think like the root of the whole conversation for me is just like we don't really know if this is what it's going to look like, right? There's been so many, quote, leak pictures of this shoe for the past, 2-3 months, maybe even longer than that, that it just makes me wonder, like, why do we even care this much in advance if the shoe
may or may not even look like the shoe that we're getting all excited about. That's probably a terrible term, but
I think this one caught more traction because the picture you see is someone actually wearing them. I know with computers and cameras nowadays, you can do anything, but this one looked like it gained more traction because someone was wearing it. And it's even harder because the first few pictures we saw, you know, just the, like the Photoshop makeups of it, of what it was like, patent leather, clearly were fake. And people were like, oh, we don't know what it looks like. And you weren't really getting a lot of traction from like a lot of reputable. But this one's been everywhere. Like all of the big sites, the small sites, the one-off. I mean, and it kind of sucks because I hope it doesn't look like this. But like, I mean, I told you guys, I told Twitter that I have no shame to admit that I'm still going to try to buy them because I've never had a shattered backboard and they're too expensive for me to even try to get one off retail for the previous models. So I might be stuck with the lotioned up tumbled leather monstrosities if this is real.
Yeah. I mean, I just think back to like the cap and gown Air Jordan 11s. There's a lot of early pictures of those, but they were either fake or a variant of like the perfect pair, the pair that Kenny G has, like the all black murdered out 11s.
Yeah.
So there were similar shoes floating around. And in this day and age, like I talked about it for a brief moment on my Instagram, but like we just got a Jerry Lorenzo shoe and now we're getting another one coming out and all those leaked images and all the info 3 days after the original. And it just kind of feeds into a 24-hour news cycle. It's in like the real news. It's in sneaker news. It's in Lego news. Like if it's fandom or if there's a fan base of people that want to ingest some kind of information, an outlet's going to pick it up. So if one picks it up, the next one is, and like a wildfire, it's just going to keep growing. So I really, really hope these are either fake or maybe they're like a friends and family plug or, you know, they have tests. That's why they wear tests. They have sample pairs for this kind of situation. Maybe they're gauging how we would take, you know, a shoe that looks like this. And I think by and large, it's been more negative feedback from it. And maybe they'll take that and go to the drawing board and give us something more traditional. But I just think we're going to pick up and talk about whatever we can find an image of, whether it's fake or real.
Yeah, I think you make a great point. I think it's just unfortunate that we're in this like cycle, and I don't know if it ever gets broken. It's actually crazy now that we're talking about this. I just am reminded, like I don't know when it was, like 2 or 3 days ago, a friend of mine text a picture of the Kobe 4. I think it was like the USA colorway, right? It's like the Kobe 4 black, or I mean white and gold with the black. Gold?
Yeah. The China one, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was, the China. And he sent a link of a Kobe site that had, you know, reposted the picture. Well, the picture is of the original from just a fan, right? That, you know, anybody that's into sneakers that's like, yeah, I'd love to see this again. So that turned into some random dude like you, like any of us, posting to our Instagram saying, damn, it would be nice if this comes back. The Kobe Instagram account picked it up and posted something along the lines of, would you like to see this, you know, release as a protro, or wouldn't it be nice, or something like that. And then I saw it on a bunch of blogs this morning or yesterday where it was like, you know, potential retro of this colorway. And I'm just like, there was nothing actually said to prove that was like legitimate information. It was literally just like, if you look back at it, it was literally just somebody being like, damn, it would be nice to have these out again. And it just makes me wonder, like, and like my biggest issue with this happens in everything. So I'm not picking on any particular sneaker blog or news site even, but my biggest issue with this is that there's never any accountability. Like if, and I'm just using an example, but like, because I look at sneaker news probably the most, if you look at sneaker news and there's a news story that says, you know, this is a possible retro for later on down the line this year, they never have to say whether or not they were actually, whether or not that was actually right or wrong. Like they just keep moving on and it gets buried in their feed of stuff. So you never actually know, you know, when, like, there's so many shoes that I've seen over the years that are like, oh, this is coming back. And then it's like, no, that was just somebody that made it up and it never released. But I don't know. I don't know if there's as, is there a solution for it though?
No, it's like a telephone game as a kid, you know, one person says something, but then each time a new person says it, the story gets misconstrued some more. And I just think with such a high fandom with sneakers right now, it's going to be like that for forever until that changes. I mean, this has been going on for years. I mean, there's always speculation. Like as soon as, as soon as they announced the All-Star game was going to be in Chicago next year, what was the first thing everyone saying? Oh, Chicago ones are coming back. Chicago ones are coming back. No one said word of it, but there's literally stories on every sneaker blog, potential Jordan 1 coming back for an All-Star game. And we can't prove it. And because this is not a, because sneakers is not a news-worthy topic of, no one's going to get in trouble for it, basically, as in something where, you know, political or, you know, legal, like, no one's going to get in trouble for reporting just a hopeful thing or just something to get clicks. So there's never going to be any accountability, I feel like, because there's no real consequence. The worst thing's going to happen is someone's not going to look at your site for a little while. But like you said, there's so much information, and we're on this 24-hour news cycle that if I go to Sneaker News tomorrow, I'm going to have to go to page 5 to find out whatever they wrote yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like little Billy's just going to get butthurt for a day. It's like, oh, I thought that shoe was going to look this way, and it didn't. And then that's literally all that happens. Or like an angry tweet. I mean, yeah, an angry tweet. Okay, cool.
Yeah, yep.
Dead noise. Like, who cares?
Yeah, and not to like harp on the lack of, I don't know if integrity is the right word, but just this
accountability.
Continue on the road of picking on these sneaker blogs. I'm really disappointed in the fact that there's just not a lot. There's a lot of good stuff coming out that never gets talked about. Another example of like the stuff in like this, so this is how I like to approach news. Like if I was like doing this at Complex, you know, 7-8 years ago, or you know, anywhere else, right? I think that a really good news site should have a variety of brands, a variety of stories, and really try to provide like a huge amount of information, because that's the end goal is like the more information you provide for your readers, your viewers, whatever, the better off they feel about your channel. And one of the things that I feel like is completely missing right now, and part of this, like, is, you know, this all came up from a text message that I got. But part of this is, like, actually kind of my own fault. So I got a text message from a friend that owns a store that he had picked up, like, just a pair of the Sneaker Freaker Gelite 3s, right? The colorway, very much like a linen Air Force One, a net easy kind of like tan and pink combo, and it's a collab, right? It's a Sneaker Freaker collab. So Sneaker Freaker most definitely has gotten a lot of attention for their collaborations in the past, even though, you know, but technically they might be a competitor of a lot of the other sneaker blogs out there. But this particular shoe is a really good colorway, and in my opinion, if we had like a team of writers working on the site every day talking about news, somebody could take that and tell a story around the Lennon Air Force One, the net Yeezy one, like, and then tie it into this shoe, because there's a lot of history behind that colorway, even though it's more recent history than say, you know, Jordans or Chucks or whatever. It's still a good story, and it's just a single shoe being released. I think it's still an easy, like, fit this into the calendar kind of story. That said, I feel like this shoe in particular went completely under the radar, and you know, like there was a handful of people that recognized it. I saw it on the release calendar on a couple of sites maybe, but we're in this, like part of this news cycle, the problematic part of it is like there's such a focus on the resale market. And, you know, me working for StockX for a couple of years, I contributed to, you know, that in a way. So I feel odd about it because I don't feel guilty because obviously I can't control all of that stuff about every what everyone does. But part of me is like, man, I kind of feel like responsible in a little, in at least in some part, for contributing to this like drive to only look at shoes for the resale value. And it's definitely not how I look at purchasing shoes, because I wouldn't have, you know, over 1,000 pairs of, you know, what most people would consider garbage shoes. It's just, I like a lot of variety and I like to see a lot of stuff and I like to be able to, like, my biggest thing is like, if you're listening to this podcast, I want you, or reading what I write, I want you to be able to trust my opinion on something, not only because of who I am and my own integrity, but also because I've went out there and purchased all of these different brands and worked with all of these different brands to really establish myself to have value in this community that I feel like separates me from a lot of other people that are telling you what shoes they like based on who's writing them the check. And I don't mean that directed towards anybody in particular. I just know that that's how it works. It's how it works in everything. It's how it works in, you know, politics in the United States right now. So, I'll step off the soapbox now and get back to it. Did you guys see this shoe before it, you know, before we started having this conversation tonight?
No, not until you sent me a text message. And I'm kind of upset with myself on that one because, same as you, I kind of pride myself on, you know, liking a variety of sneakers, purchasing a variety, so I can have like kind of a well-informed, like, opinion and have, you know, be able to talk to our listeners and give them all the stories instead of just like a very small segment like they see all the time. So I kind of want to kick myself because I had no idea that this was 10 minutes ago.
But Nick, you helped start a juggernaut, though.
I mean, I think it was fun, and I think that there's a huge value in StockX and in all the secondary market platforms. You know, I don't regret it in any way. I just think that it's interesting because on the other side of that, we also had like the algorithm saying that, well, people want to see more Yeezys. People want to see more, you know, Jordan 1s or Travis Scott's. So now you have all the other people posting about that because they want to get more followers. And that's kind of the other side of how that growth has happened.
Right. I mean, you definitely notice if you're thirsty, which I'm thirsty sometimes for likes.
Aren't we all?
Like, posting a free run isn't going to have the same kind of outcome as posting an off-white or posting a Jordan 1. Something that everybody wants to see. It's kind of facilitating one-sidedness in the sneaker community. And I know Nick and Mike both feel this way, but like, that's what we strive to stay away from. Sneaker history. You can go to 15 other sneaker blogs, 14 of which I probably visit too, and get similar content. But you can come listen to our podcast, or you can go listen to our words, read our words, and you can see that you're going to get a twist. You're going to get something a little bit different that you might not have thought about in a while. So here's sneaker history. We do it for kids like Trick Daddy. You know what I'm saying?
Trick love the kid. No, I think that's I think that's a great point. And honestly, like, this is something I've been thinking about trying to be better about with getting people involved. So if you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, this is why I fuck with these guys, am I allowed to cuss on this? I guess I am, since it's our podcast.
Huh? No, you did enough.
Sorry, guys. But if you're like, this is why I'm listening to these guys have these conversations, then, you know, like, hit us up. I honestly would love to get some more stories from people to help us kind of mix it up a little bit more and have, you know, more people sharing their voice out there. And if we can use, you know, the site to do that or the Instagram to do that, then I think it's great. But I guess, like, you know, moving on from that topic, try to get into something that, well, I'll probably end up getting fired up about that too, but, the main topic we wanted to get into tonight was actually all the Pride releases that are coming out over this last week, next 2 weeks for this month. I don't know. One of you guys want to take this one, start it out?
Go ahead, Robbie, start it up.
Yeah, so first things first, Pride shoes are awesome. Like, whatever company's making them, I've always been a big fan. I like colorful bursts. I like equal rights for everybody. So it's always been like a win-win for me. But this all started back, and I'm going to put an asterisk before what I'm going to say. Back in 2013, if you were to search the Googles, but our dear friend Nick here, the sneaker historian, will attest that it actually started in San Francisco, Portland, and New York? Question mark.
Yeah. Yep.
Back in 2012, so it almost feels like they did a little test run there, and some more. You know, compared to the rest of the country, I would say Portland, San Francisco, and in New York are three of the more open-minded cities in the country. So maybe a little test run there. But we saw the first formal collection in 2013 with two free runs and SB Janowski. I believe that's – I can never say that shoe. I see it all the time, but I say it wrong in my brain. So I don't. No one else is listening to me. if you heard half the words I thought of, just they're incorrect in my brain, and I just don't care. But like, they started with 3-shoe run, and then it kind of went to a 4-shoe run, and then 5, and then like basketball got involved, and now we're looking at like 6-7 shoes in a collection. 2015, Adidas got on the fun train, and they started having their own Pride collection, which, if you ask me, probably the best Pride shoe of all time is the first Adidas run. They did a superstar that looked like you just stepped in rainbow. If there was like a rainbow puddle and you stepped in it and you got it all over like your mud guard. That's what it looks like. And it was so good. It's like so basic and this fantastico. I'm going on a tangent here, but basically 2013, asterisk 2012, 2015, we're in 2019 and we're getting another one. So how are we feeling about this year's collection? We got a lot of early looks at basketball shoes from Nike. Adidas is hitting us with a gorgeous Oswego, which I think might be the best shoe of any brand this year. And Mike here has a sleeper third brand that is also putting on for Pride. Mike, what's that third brand?
Man, Under Armour. You wouldn't expect it. You don't hear about it often. But the Under Armour, the Hover, just similar to the Oswego, and it looks like it's made like the whole midsole is just color, and the way to do it, it looks super bright, super super clean at the same time. You know, sometimes you get some shoes that look dizzy and everywhere, but this shoe is and super super slick. It looks like almost like you stepped in watercolor, and then the shoe just has a basic nice cool gray upper. With the Under Armour sporting the same like kind of, I don't want to say tie dye, but you know, just that the rainbow along with the laces and the heel tab. So Under Armour did a thing on this one, and it's super clean. Along with that one, the Oswego, and then the Zoom Pegasus are my three favorites of the collections this year.
Yeah, I like
Nick Woody.
So I like the Zoom Pegasus probably the best. Well, I really like that Air Max 90 too. I think that's probably my favorite. But I think it's dope that more brands are getting involved. You know, like that it kind of, I guess, like picking on the sneaker blogs again, but there's also like a New Balance Pride collection, a Reebok Pride collection that are both live on their sites right now. And I think that, you know, it's dope to see all of these brands supporting something that, you know, even as little as like 5 to 10 years ago would have been like, you know, potentially a conflict within the company. And I don't really care one way or the other about like that stuff for like, you know, like I just look at everyone as the same, right? Like I just look at people like, if if you have different preferences than me, like, that's totally okay. It doesn't change the fact that I can be your friend, you know, and I have people around me of all different backgrounds at all times. And like, even in my close, you know, family. And so this is one of those things where it's always a hot topic in my kind of, I guess, my own self-built community. And I think that, you know, we talked a little bit about this before we started recording, but there's always like some hesitation around stuff like this, because you kind of look at it as like, well, is the brand just trying to, you know, hop on board to make money? Do they really believe in this stuff? Are they doing something with this? And you know, at least from what I've seen this year, all the brands that are selling, you know, Pride or Be True, whatever they're calling it, for the LGBTQ community, are giving some amount of the proceeds to, you know, betterment of that community in some way, shape, or form. And I think, you know, just for me personally, that is enough of an action to say that they're doing it for the right reasons. Obviously, they're not going to just give money away by producing product and having it not sell or having it not, you know, be accepted, right? But I think that, you know, if I'm just looking at it from a consumer's perspective, that should be something that you should consider when you're looking at, like, you know, buying something that supports a cause. And it doesn't even have to be like Pride or whatever. It's like any cause, right? Like, if they're selling you a cause, then make sure that they're doing something with the money that they're taking out of your pocket, and make sure it's going to support something that you believe in. That's all I would hope for.
No, for sure. And like Adidas, so I don't know if they still do it, but in the early years, they donated a portion of the sales to New Avenues for Youth, which is a establishment that focuses on homeless, gay, lesbian, and bisexual, transgender people. And I walk past that building every day on my way to my 9-to-5. And that's really powerful to me. And I really appreciate that Adidas does that. And I've been going to Pride since 2012 in whatever city I'm living in. And Portland Pride, Nike always shows out, and, you know, Under Armour does too, and Adidas also. But Nike always has a huge, huge group behind them. And the people they employ mostly fill up those ranks during the parade. And that always shows me that this Be True stuff is more than just a dollar sign or a gimmick for them. Just the amount of people they have on their own time underneath the Nike banner supporting that cause that they feel passionate about. And I feel a certain kind of way when I wear, I have the Be True Flyknit racers. Yeah, it's so clean. And I hate paying full price for shoes, but I paid full price for that one on the sneakers app happily. And I wear it when I go to Pride, and I see other people with past Be True or whatever Adidas markets there is under. But you see people in the parade, on the sidelines, they're happy. They can be dressed as a unicorn. I've seen some really cool outfits. But at the end of the day, it's a cool outfit with a cool pair of shoes that's all supporting the cause. So it makes me feel good giving to that, and it makes me feel better when I'm there. So I never see anything wrong with an exchange of money for a company to show that they're behind their employees and potential consumers. So that's dope shit. Dope stuff. Yeah. We're cursing now.
Yeah. We're all in now.
Open a floodgate.
Yeah. I mean, it's the whole show started with talking about, you know, lube and all this stuff. So like, apparently we're going to have to change our rating for the podcast now. We apologize, but just make sure your kids aren't in the room when you're listening.
Before we lose it, everybody go look at the ASICS Gel Light 3 tongue. Tell me what it looks like. Drop a comment.
Yeah.
What a comment.
Like, tongue look like.
No, just to reiterate kind of what you were talking about, I think that's just like, I mean, I obviously fall on one, like on a very like kind of progressive belief system. And I've lived in, you know, a lot of progressive cities in my life. So to me, I think, you know, just being aware of what, of where the money is going and how it's actually supporting people, consumers, businesses, people that work at those businesses, however you want to look at it. But I think too, like, you know, it's kind of disturbing to me. And I try not to get too political on here because I get pretty fired up about political stuff typically. If you want to hear more of that, just follow me on Twitter. Cause every time I look at Twitter, it's like, you know, trigger warning. But I think the interesting thing about this to me this year is that you're seeing like all of this like backlash of like, if they're going to have their pride parade, then you know, like we're going to have like a straight pride parade. And to me, like that just doesn't matter. Like it's like, if you're an adult, like you don't go to a birthday party and be like, oh, well, it's this kid's birthday party, but my birthday is in, you know, 6 months. So you better be there. It's like, come on, man. Like,
preach.
Let people live their lives. And if you don't want to support it, then don't support it. Don't buy it. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, nobody's going to miss your $200 for a pair of Ultra Boosts if you don't believe in the things that those Ultra Boosts stand for. And I don't, like, you know, I don't really care one way or the other, like, if you're buying these things for that reason or not. Like, if you like the shoe and you don't have a political preference or whatever, then you just like the shoe. That's totally okay too. But to go out and like attack a particular group one way or the other, and you know, like my political beliefs aside, I just don't think that anybody should be getting all defensive about this stuff. And I've seen it rarely pops up in the sneaker world, thankfully, but there's been an occasional instance of comments on Instagram with people that are just like hating on a product because of the group that it represents. And to me, that's just like totally unacceptable. And I have no understanding for people that are that way. But hey, maybe if you're listening to this podcast and you actually think that way, because I doubt that a lot of people that listen to this think that way, like hit me up on Twitter and explain that to me, because I would love to know your thought process of that, because it really just seems like, you know, you're just like starving for attention. And all right, I'm going to end that because it's just totally not sneaker related anymore. But
and that's the
way for a fight.
If you think you need a straight pride parade in Boston, you shouldn't be allowed to procreate, because the world doesn't need those genetics going around. I mean, like,
yeah, I just think it's just unfortunate, you know. Like, I wouldn't wish that upon anybody, even the other side. And you know, like, I have, you know, family that's on both sides of this particular, you know, kind of back and forth, unfortunately. And I just rather see people putting effort into making the world a better place rather than complaining about it or trying to take down, you know, take away from somebody else. You know, live your life and do good things and rock some dope kicks. That's what I think people should be doing right now.
Yeah, man. And being someone who is literally probably lived most of my life in like the other part of the world where the
South
challenge for a lot of things. Yes, the South. Yes. you see, I guess, a real different story. Because, I mean, I've visited, you know, California, you know, visit the East Coast. You know, there's a whole different like way of thinking. So, I mean, without going on like a long tangent, I mean, I was just sitting there wondering as we were talking, I was like, I honestly can't remember. I know they're here somewhere, but I don't remember seeing a lot of the Pride shoes on shelves and things like that here. But now I'm going to go look and see if they are. Like, I don't know if it's true. I don't know if maybe we don't get them in stores as much. They're more of like an online deal. But now I want to go look, because I don't honestly, you know, we make that first eye to shoe contact like most sneakerheads do. I don't see a lot of people wearing them down here either. So now I'm going to make a point to maybe keep a tally for like the next week or so, to see if I can find anybody wearing them. Because again, I live in a completely different part of the world. If it's not their way, they don't want to hear about it. So I'm more like on Nick's side. Like, as long as you're a good person, I don't care less what you like and don't like. As long as you're a decent person, not hurting people around you, do your thing. You don't like the sneaker, don't buy it. No one's going to miss it because no one's going to buy it. We'll just keep on moving.
Well, so I know the DBs, Dornbecker Jordans, are only sold through Nike.
Yeah.
For control over proceeds. I want, and Black History Month too, I think they, no, they definitely opened that up.
No, that's Foot Locker for sure. They opened those, at least the Foot Locker, cause, and some small boutiques.
The initial,
Black History.
Yeah. Like the early, I want to say Kobe 7. Yeah, I mean like Kobe 6 and 7, I want to say were direct releases only. So from Nike only. So yeah. Maybe you would only find Pride shoes if there's a Nike Houston. I think, is there a Nike Houston? No?
Nah. We have an outlet.
Nike Houston?
Outlets. No, bro, we don't have a Nike town and it hurts my feelings.
Yeah,
that's a
crazy.
Big market. Nike, tripping. But,
Dallas has one. It's a gross though. I'm not going to Dallas.
Yeah, right? I mean, H-Town. Man, that blew my mind. I thought there was one. But it's just, I forgot where I was going with that. Who knows? Oh, releases. Yeah, so maybe they were just only at Nike Direct or Adidas. That maybe that's why Nick's seeing those Reeboks on Reebok.com and Adidas is having their, you know, maybe.
Well, I don't want to hunt them down now. We're gonna find an answer. Someone let us know in the comments if they know better than we do. But until I hear back from one of our listeners, I'm going to go hunt them down to figure out what's going on here.
It is kind of crazy, though. Like that, I mean, Houston, so I lived in Texas, and I actually had, like, my parents lived in, like, a couple hours outside of Dallas for a while, too. So I spent a significant amount of time in Texas for probably 5 or 6 years of my life, and I typically go back for the races in Austin at least once a year, every other year. But living in Austin, like, Austin's one of those, like, super progressive places, right? Like, it's kind of just like everyone there is sounds weird, but everyone prides themselves on like being eclectic and standing out and being weird, right? So like
it's a rule of its own.
Yeah, you're like almost immune to any of it because it's just like everybody's doing something wild. But like it is kind of weird that you wouldn't see it, and maybe it just is not. I mean, and not to pick on Houston, Mike, but like Houston's like sneaker scene is definitely not diverse the way, and I don't mean that in like the way we're talking
exactly
diversity,
mean,
but like I was blown yeah. away when I was blown away when I moved to Austin and ended up going down to Houston a couple of times in the first maybe 6 months. Cause I was like, oh, Houston, you know, I've heard so much about it. And like, there's a big car scene in Houston that I'm like super into as well. But I was surprised that like there's so many people still kind of like wearing that like Air Force Ones, you know, like color match to the hat. And this is like, this is like me in a nutshell, other than I don't wear Air Force Ones, but like I love the whole, like the vibe of that, right? Like, I feel like even like in the hip hop world, like Houston kind of took what like California did, and they just upped it. Like, you know, I look at like the Bun B and, you know, even like the ABN and yeah, like UGK, Bun B, Pimp C, UGK, ABN, like all of the groups that are down there that they basically took, you know, the Dickies, which is like, you know, my go-to, not sponsored, but Dickies, if you're listening, but like, it was like, you know, Bun has a line, I can't remember what track it is from, you know, a few years back, but it was like, basically like white tees, fitted hat, Jordans under Dickies. And to me, that was like, essentially like just taking what my growing up California, what everyone in my neighborhood kind of looked like with like Dickies and Cortez and Reebok Classics, which is what I primarily wore through high school. And taking it to the next level, right? Because you're wearing Jordans and you're now mixing up your fitted hats and like you're wearing different colors to match the Jordans. And it was a look, right? It's like, and but like I lived in Austin probably 2008, 2009, and that was still like a go-to look in Houston, which to me is super dope because I still kind of just dress that same way other than the Air Force Ones. So
well, Houston is the only city I know of. So, you know what, guys, I live here. So, any of our listeners from Houston, I'm not knocking it. I'm just stating facts. Houston is the only place I know where you can go into, you go into your Foot Locker, House of Hoops, Champs, whatever, and you'll see the guy buying Jordan 11 shoes, the shorts to match, the shirt to match it, and then the fitted hat that matches. Like the whole capsule that comes out, and they will wear it. And that was one of the funniest things I've seen, because, like, man, I haven't done it since I was a kid. But they went from head to toe, the whole capsule that comes out with whatever shoe. Only place I know on earth that the person will actually buy the whole collection with the sneakers to match.
Bro, I belong in Houston. I got my bread with the matching shorts. And those Jordan 11 shorts, if you've ever had a pair, are heavy.
I have them, dude.
Yeah.
They're for one.
Yeah.
And have, like, the netting on the side that looks like the midfoot of the 11. Man, yeah. I'd be about that life. When I used to work
down on my ankle,
yep.
I bet you $1 million both of those shorts, the elastic is dead because I haven't worn them in so long, and there's like chilling in there. They're in storage somewhere, but like, yeah, I got that whole fit with the elite sock. Know what I'm saying?
Yep. Oh, dude, you called out the T. I have the elite sock to go.
I let that look go. That's like Robbie circa, like literally 2013. You could find me anywhere with a hat, Jordan shorts, elite sock, and 11.
See, that was me 2011 when I still worked at Champ. That was like, my go-to. It was all discounted for me. It's like, you know what? Let's get the whole fit. Look what happens.
Man, I was a Foot Locker. I did the same thing.
Yeah.
If you've worked shoe retail, shout out whatever crazy outfits you have in your closet that you really don't wear. But you have, I mean, bro, I got literally every Elite Sock version 1. I'm not kidding you. In every color there could be, just to go with like every pair of Jordan. It's stupid.
I need one better. I had all the NBA socks.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah, there you go.
Shout out NBA socks with the little logo. You can get those from Finish Line still, probably. Shout out to Finish Line, unofficial sponsor. But, but yeah, man, that's just, if you're listening, shout out your old looks.
Yeah, like, that would be awesome.
City. I'm going to tweet these shorts. I'm going to find them in my closet. I'm tweeting them out once I find them.
Oh, man. But so clearly, like, we've all shown that we're kind of, I don't know, for lack of a better way of saying it, stuck in our ways when it comes to style. We'll shift gears into a more modern, I'm going to put quotation air quotes around this, more modern look. And I'll let you talk about, Mike, the this Fila shoe.
Oh, God. You're going to call it modern? Like, a modern ripoff is what I want to call it. What is this thing called again? Oh, man, it's like the ray tracing.
Fucci.
Fucci. Well, it's easy. That's what it is. It's a lot of Fugazi Yeezy. So this Fila shoe, I mean, we all know him. He's been a pretty hot seller in the female sneaker demographic, at least. But they decided to come out with this sneaker called the Ray Tracer, and $75. So good value for anybody who's not looking to spend a grip on. Jordans up here. Easy. But they're always on sale. So I think Nikki found it for like, what, 30, 40 bucks somewhere online. And
yeah, $40 on Finish Line. Yep.
They look like it looks like just someone just went to the Yeezy factory, took a bad snapshot, and built a shoe from the Wave Runner. It looks awful. It just looks terrible. It looks like someone took a RSX Puma and a Yeezy 700, they had this is a bad fusion. Like, I don't know what you want to call it, but it's blatant. And you guys, if you know, you're into like the sneaker social media like we are, you may have heard a lot of the YouTubers kind of following up with the story this week. It's been a big thing just because they look, you know, from a distance, someone thinks you're wearing Wave Runners.
It's fragrant.
Yeah. I mean, is it bad that I actually kind of like the shoe?
No.
That's not bad. I can't be mad at anybody for liking it, because if it was $20, $30, I have no shame. If I'm gonna buy the Vaseline cheddar backboard, I can't be mad at this dude.
It's like Thor and Fat Thor. It's like, you like Fat Thor.
Yeah.
Fat Thor. It's like, it still works. It still like reckons lightning and thunder and can like
serviceable.
Yeah. But man, that shoe is like, shout out to Payless. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Payless.
I love that it's I love that one of the bullet points is chunky 90s inspired silhouette.
A lie.
Describe me too much.
Oh man, but what was the Nick, you found another shoe, the And One. What was it called again?
Oh yeah, on a chunky 90s inspired style. Also another Fugazi Yeezy shoe, the Tai Chi Racer, basically is like the And One Tai Chi, which is, you know, the shoe that they're probably the only shoe that they're known for at this point, right? Most people don't even remember the rest of them.
It's a legend in its own right.
You know, Vince Carter dunk contest, if you got to look it up. But the upper of the shoe, so I saw the shoe previously in like the black and white with like the pink hits and like the bright colored liner. But then Mike pointed out that the tan colorway, or as they call it, sandpaper colorway, actually looks like a Yeezy 500. Even like the shape of the shoe looks more like a Yeezy 500 in that colorway, because the color is tonal. But it's, I don't know. Like, I love you guys, And One. You have my, you know, undying affection for at least the things you did in the 90s, but now I just feel like you got to try harder.
Man, so listeners and or you two gentlemen, if you ever had a dad that wore your old And One gym shorts that you wore when you were little, and then he wore around the house, then you might have an old Italian dad. I'm just saying. Like, And One, the official gym short of my youth.
Oh yeah, mine too, man. The years that they did like the heavyweight, and I'm gonna just shout out my guy Brandon Edler. We've talked about this for like 10 or 15 years now, I feel like. But like the years that they did the heavyweight, like basketball shorts, I still think they might be the best basketball shorts ever made. And if you could bring those back, I'm willing to pay much more than, you know, like Walmart And One prices. So.
Bro,
I'm on board with that.
Adidas reversible shorts. Adidas used to make, like, when T-Mac was hooping, reversible Houston Rockets, silver and red. I think they did it in Orlando, too. But just the thickest, those gym shorts, bro, those things, if you have them, guarantee they still work. Like, those things are still highly functional.
Yeah, those are dope.
That battle station is fully operational.
Dude, I made a Kevlar. Bulletproof, bro.
Yep. So that actually, I'm gonna before we go down that path too far, I think we're gonna do another episode in the next couple of weeks and just talk about all the old school stuff that we miss, because that made me think of some stuff that I'm not gonna talk about right now. But anybody that's listening, hit us up. Let us know what you miss from the 90s, the 80s, 2000s, whatever it is, and we'll work this into a new episode, because we're running long on time right now. But this is a great topic to go down. So we'll set it up and we'll shout you guys out if you're sharing some of the stuff with us that we can kind of include in the next conversation. Before we get out of here, what do you guys think? You want to pick a shoe for this episode?
Let's do it. I'm not buying anything, but yeah, I can pick.
I'll start it off if you're going to think about it. So last episode, I said no more Jordans. I swore off Air Jordan. Mike and your juju magic staying away. But, you know, like any good crackhead, I put myself into a crack den. I went to the Nike employee store, and I had all these different shoes in my bag, including Jordan's, and I was like, no, Juju. I said no to you. So I said no to the Jordans, but I bought a pair of Presto React or React Prestos and that brutal, no, the Panda, like the Savage Panda, whatever it's called. And my God, that's a hell of a shoe. Like, comfortable, priced at $120 on your local Finish Line store. $70 for me. That was kind of cool. But yeah, just that React Presto. There's no other sensation underfoot. It's like, it feels like a Reebok DMX if the DMX was super soft and like boost. It has like a really regional step. So every step you take, you feel a different part of it, like kind of the old school Reeboks. So yeah, go out there and buy a pair of React Prestos. You'll be very happy. That's it. End take. Bam.
What about you, Mike?
Well, since speaking of addictions, I've been going through this huge, like, SB addiction all over again. I feel like I'm freaking 21 again and just trying to crush all these skate shoes. But besides the Jordan 1s I was actually able to get sitting on shelves, like the NY de Paris, the my brain stopped working for a second.
Fine.
No, not the, well, those are my picks. I picked those up last week, but my, I picked, oh, the Polish State Company, the Air Trainer 1s, and then the SB Blazers they had coming out. Simple shoe, they're like the Air Trainer 1s, predominantly blue, black, and tan accents, and then the Blazers, kind of like an off-white bone color with blue and black accents. Simple shoes, but I just have this, I'm having this addiction of skate shoes again, and it's hurt my pocket.
Oh man, my pick, I'm gonna go a little bit different than what I would probably typically go with, but I think the Under Armour Curry 6 Oakland edition that just came out is super dope.
Very respectable shoe. I like it.
Yeah, I think you know, people don't really realize how important that is for the people of Oakland, in my opinion, because you just don't get that stuff. Like, San Francisco just gets, you know, overshadows Oakland. And the fact that Curry and Under Armour kind of went out and gave away, you know, 30 pairs to local, like, you know, people that are out there making a difference and just like regular folks too, was really dope. I think the shoe is super dope. It's cool to see them paying respects as their last season in Oakland. And so that's my pick. And if you're in Oakland or if you visit Oakland, just go down to Jack London Square and get some chicken and waffles from Home of Chicken and Waffles for me and send me a picture of it. And like, I love you forever, because that's absolutely my favorite place in the Bay to eat. So, and you're probably going to get there and be like, this is your favorite place to eat. But the food is so good, like the vibe is not like the same as what you would expect, but like, it's just like an OG spot. It's so good. I miss it right now. My mouth is like watering thinking about it. So all yep. That because I looked at a pair of Oakland sneakers. So shout out to Steph Curry.
Also, like, shout out Bay Area Got Soul, shout out FBCC Flyboy Couture something, I think it's Couture Club. He's a customizer, but on top of that, he's a businessman and he makes his own fashion line. He is the person who put together the Christmas Steph Curry stuff. So over Christmas, Steph Curry gave Christmas shoes to all these kids and had them design it. Those kids were in his class. He gives free fashion lessons and like seamer, if you're a boy, I don't know how to say that, but he gives lessons to young kids in the Bay. Steph Curry and Under Armour recognize that and gives them shoes and then pays it forward. So
yeah, it's
shout out Oakland in the Bay Area. That's really good stuff. So happy notes.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that pretty much wraps it up. My name's Nick Engvall. You can follow me at Nick Engvall on all the platforms, at Sneaker History on all the platforms. And guys, let them know how they can connect with you online.
And you guys can find me, Mike Guillory, on Sneaker History all the time. Find me on Twitter, Instagram, with the Mad Watcher 789. Robbie, where are you at this week?
you can always find me using hashtag Bay Area Got Soul. You should go follow Bay Area Got Soul. I talk about myself every time. That's my group of people. They do really good stuff out there. So you'll find me a million different ways, but go use that hashtag and support the Bay.
Right on. Ooh. We appreciate y'all listening, and we'll catch you next time. Peace.
See ya.
Bye-bye now.
What up, y'all? This is Nick again. Before you take off, I want to ask a few favors of you. First off, if you're still listening, I wanted to thank you for supporting us and continuing to listen to our podcast. If you're enjoying it, and I'm going to assume that you do if you're listening this long, please take a couple of minutes, head over to iTunes, drop us a review, leave a comment, make sure you're subscribed. It's the only way that we can really continue to grow our audience and reach new people and continue to grow the podcast. The second thing is, if you haven't already, head over to sneakerhistory.com/shop. You can pick up t-shirts, coffee mugs, stickers, and some other miscellaneous things. And all of these things go to help us continue this podcast, to continue the site, and just pay for miscellaneous expenses that come up. I'm not trying to make a killing off of it, but it would be awesome to have your support. And who knows, maybe run into one of you on the streets one day rocking a Sneaker History t-shirt. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time. Peace.
Hey, hey, Nick here again. Before you take off, I want to thank you for listening to the Sneaker History Podcast. Be sure to hop into our Discord to answer this episode's The Last Shot question and get to know our community of sneaker enthusiasts. If you'd like more insights on the trending topics in the sneaker world, I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly 2 decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter. And last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.